Last week, we started a series called Gracious and Compassionate. And that series flowed out of our study of Jonah, where we looked at the strange mercy of God. And we also looked around the cultural conversation that's asking important questions about compassion and sympathy and empathy and when those work well and maybe when they don't work well. And so last week we began the series looking in Hosea chapter 11 at a God filled with grief. A God who looked at the little child that he raised and saw that child, which was a stand-in for his people. He saw them going astray and rebelling and abandoning him. And we saw God's heart full of grief and compassion and how those mixed together. And ultimately in Hosea chapter 11, we saw that the judgment coming from God did not turn into abandonment. I've been thinking in the last few days about how I wanted to pivot this sermon and do something a little different in this series. And today I want to ask a different question. What happens when it's not about judgment? It's not about doing something wrong. What do we think about God when it feels like abandonment, but it's not because of judgment or error, it's just because of grief? What do we do when that happens? If Hosea teaches us that God has not abandoned us in the midst of judgment, what about in the midst of crisis and grief? If you're like me, sometimes you start asking questions after tragedy and loss. It might be after a tragic loss of life we've just experienced, or maybe it's after a scary diagnosis or something else, and you start asking questions. You ask the question, who? Who is responsible for this? Did I or somebody else do something wrong? Is this some consequence for choices? Or is the who God? Did God cause this? Did God allow this? Or there's the bigger question, why? Why did God seem to cause this, or at least allow it? Is there some bigger purpose I'll find out about down the road? And I know a lot of well-meaning people, including some of us and myself at times, try to comfort people by saying things like that, even though probably in the end, if we're honest, it's not super helpful. Or why? Well, is it just random? Is it bad luck? Is there any order to the universe? Now, I understand why we ask those questions. They are real and honest questions. You have asked them, and so have I. But I haven't found a lot of satisfaction in asking those questions. I haven't gotten many answers, and the ones I've gotten aren't super comforting. So if the questions who or why aren't the right ones, is there a better question we can ask on a day like today? Psalm 34 gives us one sentence. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Now, this doesn't answer every question, but it does tell us something true about God. It answers the question, where? Because that's a better question. I think that question will get us somewhere. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, not distant or disgusted or impatient or waiting for us to get ourselves together before he will come close. He's near. That means that a broken heart is not a place where God refuses to go. A broken heart is the place God runs to. And then that second line says that he saves those who are crushed in spirit. And that word saves can be hard to hear because we often pray for rescue, for healing, for surgeries to work and treatments to be effective. So I want to be careful because Psalm 34 isn't asking us to pretend that every story turns out the way we've begged God for it to turn out. The Bible gives us tears. The Bible gives us psalms of lament and Rachel weeping for her children and Jesus crying at the tomb of his friend. And it gives us a crucified Messiah. So Psalm 34 isn't giving us a formula that protects us from every tragedy, but it gives us a promise. Those who are crushed in spirit are not abandoned. In every form of our grief, the promise begins here, that God is near. And if we want to know what the nearness of God looks like, we just look at Jesus. Jesus is God coming near, near enough to touch lepers and welcome children and eat with sinners and be moved by hungry crowds and cry at the grave of his friend, near enough to enter our suffering and carry a cross and pass through death. In Jesus, God does not love us from a safe distance. God comes near. Now, a lot of us run from pain, and that's one of the most understandable human things we do. And I'm always amazed and grateful at the people who seem to run toward the pain. Firefighters who run into the burning building, or medics who run into trauma. But it's not always the big, obvious heroics. It's not always the official first responders. It's the people who drop everything and show up at the hospital. It's the people who get into the kitchen or the DoorDash app before they even had time to think and make sure that food is on the way. And if we want to be near to the brokenhearted like God is, that's what it looks like. Because the nearness of God often becomes visible and apparent through the nearness of God's people. So let me ask you a question. I want you to think about a time when you experienced grief or pain or loss. Now, what did people do that stayed with you? It probably wasn't heroics. It was a call, or a text, or a card, or a meal, a word of encouragement, someone who remembered even a month or two later, someone who sat quietly in the room. Now, let me ask you a different question. When you think of what you need to do to serve others in pain, do you think it has to be some big heroic gesture to be meaningful? Let's just be honest about the difference here. Because we all know and would openly admit that everyday things are meaningful to us, but we think it has to be over the top to be meaningful to others. And in the end, for all of us, nearness just looks like simple acts to serve people in pain. The theologian Stanley Hauerwas told a story one time about a young husband and father who was living with his family in sort of a communal living experience with some people who had some shared faith commitments. And this young husband and father received a very difficult diagnosis of spinal cancer. And so he did what we all would do, and you go see the different specialists. And he went to the radiologist, and the radiologist said, well, let me treat you with what I do, and it'll give you a little bit more time. And then he went to talk to the surgeon, and the surgeon said, you know, don't listen to them. Let me treat you. I can do some things, and it'll buy you some time. And this confused young man went back and talked to the spiritual leaders of his community. And he told them all the options and what they could or couldn't do. And these leaders looked at him and said, you know, if you want to do those things, we'll support you. We'll stand beside you and make sure you get where you need to go and minister to you even when the side effects start to hit. So if you want to do those things, you can. But if you don't want to do any of those things, then we'll make two promises to you. Number one, you won't be alone while you're dying. And number two, your wife and kids won't be abandoned. That's what nearness and presence looks like. So when tragedy strikes, We can ask who, and we can ask why, but I'm not sure if we'll get helpful answers. But if we ask where, I think we'll get something more useful. Where is God? He is right there with us in our pain. And where should we be? We're the ones who run into the fire. Church, we never are going to know how to handle these things perfectly. We're going to say awkward things sometimes. We're not always going to know what to do. But we can be near. We can pray and remember and show up, and we can refuse to let people suffer alone. Because that's what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. We grieve honestly because death is the enemy. Scripture tells us that. But we don't grieve hopelessly because Jesus Christ has ultimately overcome death. He's come out on the other side alive. And if you're in this room today and you're brokenhearted, the one thing I can say to you with certainty, and there's not many I can say, but one thing I can say with certainty, is God is near. God is near to the brokenhearted. And by his grace, we will be too. Church, let's stand and sing.